Welcome back. This is the Bless Your Boys podcast. Bless Your Boys is the SB Nation home for all things Detroit Tigers baseball. I'm your host, Brandon Day. With me is my co-host, Ashley McLennan. Ashley, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
You know, nice and staying a little bit lighter later, and I'm pretty sure spring may eventually show up.
Yeah, you know, I looked at our 10-day in the Detroit area, and, like, it still doesn't get to, like, above 40, and I think, until, like, next Thursday. So we still have, like, 9 days just for that. So.
Yeah, it's super miserable here, too. It's, like, snow is still on the ground. It's still so cold.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like spring really a bit, I'm afraid. And the Tigers' first four games have pretty much displayed that.
Yeah, and I mean, the weather hasn't cooperated at all for them to be playing regular baseball. We've had, what, two rain/snow outs already?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And we've had to play the earliest doubleheader in Comerica history.
Yep, in miserable conditions, up in the nightcap especially.
Super miserable conditions. And, of course, that's because we were playing the Pittsburgh Pirates, and Interleague is super hard to reschedule, so, of course, they had to try and get those games in wherever and whenever they could. But yeah, it's been some interesting game. Like for Tuesday's game, which is today for us, man, it looked unpleasant out there. You could see everyone's breath. It was just people bundled up in you know, rain slickers and parkas. And then I went and watched the Rays game right after that, and it was opening day at Yankee Stadium, and whew, it didn't look much better there. Like, I think they'd had snow all morning. Yesterday's game was snowed out. So, yeah, it's been pretty miserable weather across the board for opening week for a lot of teams.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, I guess to some degree that's sort of par for the course. Like, it never quite makes sense that they don't have, you know, the schedule kind of set up to stick in the southern cities and to stick in the domed stadiums. But obviously there's that opening day big check that comes into all teams from, you know, selling out their stadium or coming close to it. But I don't know, what was it? It was like they announced 15,000 plus today, and it looked like there was like a couple hundred people down there.
Yeah, I think they sold 15,000 tickets. So, of course, that's the monitor you get for ticket sales, not necessarily the people through the actual turnstile. So, yeah, it was great.
Yep, I just went, you know, opening day, I went down and did a radio show with our buddies Roger Martin and Chris Brown, who do the Tigers SRD podcast. So we did like this live broadcast from a restaurant downtown, and all these people, you know, just kept streaming in. We started at like 10, I got there at 11, and people were just like kind of staggering in, like not knowing what to do with themselves. Like, I guess they did kind of call that one pretty early, which was, you know, good on you, Tigers, for not forcing everybody to come downtown. And then there's probably some, you know, some local government pressure to try to get everybody to come down and see how the things were going to go first before you cancel it. But they called that one off nice and early.
It was so early. I think it was 8 here. I had just gotten to work. I was sporting my old school Justin Verlander jersey to the office. I'd gotten like special approval because I sit at the reception desk. And they're like, yeah, you go to town, crazy girl, who's the only person in the building who cares about baseball. You do you. And showed up, jersey on. Game was canceled.
Yep, bright and early. Yeah, everybody just kind of woke up like, oh. And then that didn't really end because it was bad on Saturday, and the doubleheader was kind of a mess. We had the dang game where they got robbed a little bit, maybe, I don't know.
Well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, today, I guess, you know, let's start with the starting rotation, because we've seen 4 out of the 5 or 6 starters the Tigers have on the roster, and so far, you know, Ryan Carpenter, who was called up, didn't do particularly well in his major league debut on Sunday evening, but beyond that, everyone pitched really pretty darn well. It's maybe a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it's been, it was Liriano up yesterday, and he was, like, surprisingly good, and I mean, I don't know that we had many expectations for guys like Liriano and Fiers, who were picked up during the offseason as kind of, like, just fodder for that lineup, right? You need 5 guys at least, so let's go pick up some, you know, proven vets who've at least done a couple innings worth of rotation in their lives. And yeah, Liriano looked great. He had a couple kind of messy out of the zone pitches, but never in a really dangerous situation, like never with runners on base. So a couple missed the zone, and he was really kind of making McCann work for it periodically, but he looked really good otherwise. And Boyd looked tight today too. He only gave up one run, so it's nice.
Yep. I mean, we haven't really, you know, haven't really faced any good lineup yet. And obviously the weather is terrible, which, you know, can affect hitters and pitchers pretty variably. You just kind of never know how they're going to go. But yeah, Liriano especially has been pretty impressive, because I mean, Francisco Liriano until 2 years ago was a pretty darn good starting pitcher, and you know, he hasn't really lost any of his stuff. I actually was in the middle of an article about this that I probably should have run before his start. but yeah, you know, he's still got all of his velocity. His changeup and slider are both really good. It just kind of always seems to come down to his command and whether or not he's walking people, or, you know, and whether or not once he does walk people, whether or not he's able to escape the jams, because he doesn't give up a whole lot of hits.
No, he looked pretty good. I missed the Fulmer start, so you'll have to be my guide on that. But even Zimmerman didn't look bad. I mean, for opening day.
Yeah, I thought Zimmerman pitched pretty well. Yep.
I think he did really well for himself, especially since there was a lot of criticism about him taking that opening day position.
Yep.
Whether or not that criticism is deserved is kind of a moot point. It was up to Gardenhire, and Gardenhire picked Zimmerman, so that was the rotation we got. But I think he looked a lot better than he did in previous seasons. I think he looked a lot more confident, and I think it showed in the pitching.
Yep, and you know, just seeing all those strikeouts, eight strikeouts, I think one walk, that's almost always a good day, unless you give up like a couple home runs or something. And really, he just had one inning where Dixon Machado bobbled a ground ball.
Yeah.
Somebody else kind of knocked one through the hole between Miggy and Machado, and then he made a real bad pitch, I think 0-1 to Francisco Cervelli, and he buried it deep against the center field wall, and that was pretty much, you know, the only moment that really went wrong for him all game. Other than that, yep, looked like he had it well in hand, striking guys out and locating his stuff really well. So I mean, that's encouraging. It's just, you know, we're probably going to feel that way about Miggy and a couple other players this year, and that, you know, like if they're healthy, you know, they can do what you hope that they'll do, but you just don't know how healthy they'll be, or how, you know, how long it'll hold up. So
yeah, I've been really happy with what I've seen out of Cabrera and Victor Martinez so far. I think it's been nice to see Miggy out there kind of being old Miggy, like not necessarily with, like, you know, already hitting 10 home runs or anything like that, but he's looked really like, he's looked light and he's looked easy and he's looked like he's having fun, even though the weather is crap. Like, he's out there grinning and he's hitting those balls, and it looks like the Miggy of olden days, basically, which has been a really kind of promising thing, I think.
Yeah, for sure. I can't remember if he hit the home run against the Pirates off Chad Cole or if it was Trevor Williams, but not like two pitches before, you know, the guy threw him a good pitch. And Miggy did the thing where he kind of looks out at him and sort of gives him the nod and the thumbs up with a grin, and then hit a home run off him two pitches later. But yeah, that feels very Miguel Cabrera. He's definitely smiling more. He's been running around the base as well. And so far he's hit the ball really, really damn hard. Hasn't always got rewarded for it, but he's already got a home run. He's come through with a bunch of big hits to get RBIs, mostly by drilling balls down in the right field corner where he makes a good chunk of his dough. So yeah, that's been real encouraging. Victor's looked, you know, reasonably good.
And he's had a couple hits, a couple RBIs in one game. I think he had a 2 or 3 RBI game the other day.
Yeah.
So that was a really nice thing to see. I mean, Nick's been off to a great start. You can't really, I mean, given what lineup we're given, it's really hard to have complaints about what we've seen. I've been really impressed with Nico Goodrum.
Yeah.
The couple games we've seen him out, playing shortstop, I guess he was out for a game. He turned what would have been a really nice double play at the end of the game on Monday, but it didn't quite make it on time. But it's nice to see he's got those quick, like, bang bang reflexes at the shortstop position, so he could be something really interesting for the team.
Yeah, he's definitely, you know, with the switch hitting ability, you know, he's got power, he's got speed. He's actually a little more intriguing than either Jose Iglesias and Dixon Machado kind of on that front, although Dixon's gotten off to a nice start and had a bunch of big hits of his own. But yeah, Goodrum is an interesting guy. I do hope they play him a good deal, because, you know, I mean, Iglesias isn't really going to, he just doesn't really do anything at this point as far as help us in the future. You know, he's going to play it out this year and maybe we'll be able to trade him. But, you know, for the most part, he's on his last tour of duty with us and isn't probably going to bring back much in trade. So yeah, if they can sit him a little bit, sit Dixon and get Goodrum in there now and again, or more often than that, depending on how he's going, I would definitely approve. I'd like to see see a little more of him. We're not going to get too crazy, but, you know, he's kind of one of those players like Mikey Matuk himself was, you know, where, you know, pretty high draft pick, a guy who had a lot of expectations and just couldn't quite put it together, but he's still only 26. He's younger than Mikey is, for example. So, yeah, there may still be something there. So that's been pretty good. Yeah, Dixon was good. Jacoby Jones, when he's played, has looked really good. I know people are already clamoring for him to just take over center field full time. That's not going to happen, but,
you know, I think that's a little bit of a premature hope, everyone.
Yeah, but he's definitely another guy you've got to find the playing time for. You've got to get him plenty of, at bats. There's no point him being up with the team and sitting around, you know, two or three games a week. He needs to be in there, and being able to play middle infield or wherever else you want him. That seems like, you know, they've got to take those opportunities and try to get him as many at bats as possible. So hopefully we'll see that. Jacoby Jones seems to have, he also just seems to have weird knack for magic and weird things happening, like getting hit in the lips. There was the game where he like came home, and beat the throw. I think it was early last year, slid into home to score the game winning run. He's had a few big hits. So yeah, there's a little bit of knack for the moment there from him, which is kind of cool. But the moment, we'll remember from the game that should not be mentioned, you know, should have had a walk-off single. You know, Nick Castellanos kind of had to dodge around Cervelli and didn't get his legs extended, but you know, when the play is, you know, called safe at home and the umpire is where the umpire was in that game and had the perfect kind of view of it, you feel pretty good about it. And, you know, replay is what it is, but oh, the worst ones are the ones where it looks like a team has won the game and everyone's celebrating, well, and it's like, oh, gotta wait and see.
They did win. I mean, I not to like shit on the Pirates for winning their first game of the season, quote unquote winning, but I mean, come on. Also, I was under the impression that replay rules said you had to have a verdict within 2 minutes or the call stood, and they were waiting on that replay for 5 minutes, and if it was that hard to tell whether or not that tag was applied, then you leave it with the call on the field.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I feel, too. When it takes that long, it's hard to believe that they saw something, you know, conclusive.
Yeah, like, if you see it, if it's a conclusive shot, you see it quickly. And at that point, they're just like, yeah, I feel like dragging this out, because who doesn't want to watch 13 innings of baseball on opening day? Oh, my God. I joked today, because that game was 5 hours and 24 minutes, I think. Like, it was a long day.
It really was a marathon, yep.
And then today, Tuesday's game, was 2 hours and 17 minutes. It was literally 3 hours less.
Yep.
Baseball is weird.
It really is. And that just shows you, Rob Manfred, you know, you want more offense. You know, games are going to be long. It's just the way it is. There was almost no offense today. And Matt Boyd and, I can't even remember who pitched for the role. Oh, Jake Junis went out there and just, you know, pounded the strike zone, just mowed right through everybody. The Tigers were just hitting fly balls left and right that were caught everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, just games. Just kind
of, if you want
right
pace
through
to play, just make sure it's like 40 degrees outside and drizzly.
Yeah, you have to figure everybody was working at their fastest pace just to stay warm out there. Yeah, trying to keep it going. But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, there was some fallout from the decision. I mean, obviously, MLB has it written into the rules that there's, I think, you know, something about extenuating circumstances or discretion where they can take more than 2 minutes if they need to, because the point is to get it right. The problem is that we still have no idea if they got it right after multiple days. There was an article in the Freep the other day, and it was all about this, and, you know, Ron Gardenhire and I believe Al Avila both kind of commenting like, yeah, the league admitted that, you know, they hadn't gotten it right and, you know, they hadn't followed the rules. And then, of course, they say that, and then MLB comes out today and is like, oh, no, you know, he was out and we're sure of it. And you know,
we're super right. Yeah. Just nobody look behind the curtain.
Yeah, but strangely enough, they did not produce a camera angle proving their point. So I don't think that's going to convince anybody until we see conclusive evidence. But such as, you know, so it is, you know, they didn't protest the game. Gardy got his first ejection, and it was unfortunately like kind of lame because the person he wanted to argue with was in New York, and so
yeah, he kind of just yelling, you know, literally went out and kicked the dirt, and you know, got his first eviction.
Yep.
So
it's basically ejection, just kind of a
eviction.
Yeah,
oh my god,
he was evicted.
He was evicted from the dugout. Out he goes.
Yeah, which, you know, gave us the opportunity to meet Steve Little, who I barely had recalled was even our bench coach now. So it was like, oh, who's this guy speaking on behalf of the Tigers? Oh, right, that's Steve Little. Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, I know. They were like, Steve Little had these comments, and I'm like, who?
Yep, I know.
Speaking of which, I want to kind of address poor Doug Teeter this week.
Oh, yeah.
We've had a lot of comments on this because I've had to mention Teeter twice because he had to come out to look at a home plate ump who took a ball to the mask during one of this week's games. And then he also kind of made – I posted about it, and it kind of made the rounds on Cut 4 and others like that was that Nick was rubbing his bald head for luck this week. Verlander had done back in the 2012 postseason. Yeah. Guessing is kind of a frequent thing, but – something we've been getting a lot of every time I mention that Doug Teeter is the head athletic trainer is people, where is Kevin Rand? Because we got so used to having Kevin Rand around as the head athletic trainer. So I just, if anybody's listening and isn't yet sure, he is still with the Tigers, Kevin Rand.
Yeah.
He has just moved on to a position in Lakeland where he will have oversight of the organization's athletic training overall. So he's actually not been demoted or moved aside. They've given him this brand new position where he's actually overseeing all major and minor league head athletic athletic training in general.
Yeah.
So he's got a very fancy schmancy position, and I believe he lives near there too, so it's nice for him to be able to be at home. But yeah, so that's something we seem to be getting a lot of comments on every time I mention that Doug Teeter is the trainer now. So it's not that Kevin Rand quit, it's not that he was fired. They gave him a better job closer to home. And Doug Teeter has been with the team for cripes at least the last 6 years.
Yeah.
And I think longer than that. So he's not new to the team by any means either.
Yeah, and Kevin Rand has been around so long, it kind of feels like he sort of, you know, got a tenured position, you know, like, you know, he's going to go down there, he's going to, you know, work on training all the, you know, the young guys and the prospects and be responsible, I would assume, for coming up with all the protocols and training, you know, methodology for pitchers and their programs and all that kind of stuff. So good for him, you know, he's definitely served his time and served it well. So yeah, it seems like he's got a pretty sweet gig down there now. But yeah. And we get Doug Teeter's head, you know, which is now available for regular rubs.
Poor Doug Teeter. I'm glad he takes it so well because I wouldn't be thrilled.
Yeah, he does seem to take it well. I think you referenced Adrian Beltre in that article, and yeah, Adrian Beltre never takes it too well.
Although, oh my god!
Although not so, you know, not so badly that everyone doesn't keep doing it for the fun of it. So.
Oh, my favorite is when Andrus does it to Beltre and that he just, like, hucks his glove at him.
Yeah, yeah.
I just, oh, it's so good. Yep. It's one of my favorite baseball things is Adrian Beltre and his hatred of having his head touched.
Yep, they have a good time over there. Yep, Miguel always has to reach for the head as well. And yeah. This is kind of a long-standing relationship there.
Oh, it's so good. If you've never watched it, go to YouTube and just Google or just YouTube search Adrian Beltre head touch, and it'll fill your evening with pure joy.
Yep, it's good stuff. So the starting rotation, I don't know, you know, there's not a whole lot to take away from, you know, just a couple games and one turn through, but you know, Michael Fulmer looked good, Matt Boyd looked good, you know, the strikeouts haven't really been there for the Tigers starters especially, but you know, they're just going out there and throwing strikes in cold weather and trying to get through these games. So you know, I don't want anybody reading too much into the FIP data at this point and they're not striking anybody out and this is a pitch to contact team now, etc., etc. But that does kind of lead to the Chris Bosio article, because I know some people took the article I wrote today as kind of sounding like Chris Bosio wants them to go out there and just chuck strikes, you know, just get the ball back, throw a strike, and just keep, you know, and just keep this pace up of strike throwing and just allow these guys to make outs. And that's not what Chris Bosio is all about. You know, the speed thing is all about controlling the pace of the game, keeping the hitters uncomfortable, and, you know, the timing mechanisms where you vary your delivery or put a little hitch into it. That's all about screwing hitters up and getting swings and misses. So, you know, this isn't a Minnesota Twins circa 2014-15, we're going to just bring in sinker ballers who just throw strikes and let them hit the ball all over the ballpark and we'll catch it. You know, that's not the deal. You know, there's pretty sound methodology behind it because there's just so much data on hitters now and so much data on pitchers that pitchers are, you know, kind of obliged to figure out ways to, you know, to throw hitters off. Because, you know, they're all sitting there knowing what you're going to throw in different counts. There may be sign stealing going on. There's, you know, there's pitch tipping that guys are studying all this video during the game now, apparently, to pick up your little tendencies. So it all makes pretty good theoretical sense. And we'll just see if how many of these guys can kind of keep it up and keep implementing it. Because it always seems like guys pitch, you know, faster when they're pitching well. like it sounds good because, oh, when guys are pitching well, they work fast. But the two don't necessarily follow that simply pitching fast will make you pitch well. So it doesn't always work that way.
Yeah, as long as nobody pitches real slow, like Clay Buchholz slow, I'm good. But I mean, Max Scherzer's really good at that pace of play thing. Like, you'll see when he's ready to go, he doesn't care where you're standing in a box. He's like, he's going to throw his pitch.
Yep. So get I think your foot there's something. In there. It's coming.
Yeah, I think there's something to be said for having for throwing guys off with that quickness of approach. So.
Yep.
I'm curious to see what we'll get. I mean, like you said, don't look at any numbers right now. The Tigers have been pitching in atrocious weather.
Yeah.
And we're what, 5 games into the season now?
Yep.
Like, you can't. There's no way. You have to wait at least a month to start formulating any kind of opinions on numbers.
Yep.
And I know there's like, we joked about it. We had like a way too early in the season assessment of teams.
Yep.
And it's basically like the White Sox are going to the World Series. Like, yeah. Let's not get carried away. Like, I mean, right now the Cubs are on a losing streak and everyone's got them slated to end the season at the top of the Central in the National League. So, I mean, it's too soon.
Yep, way too soon, except for amusement purposes. So.
Oh, yeah.
But if you want to go crazy out there and take Jacoby Jones 6 at-bats and 1071 OPS as a sign that he's about to just break out and rage JD Martinez like throughout the league, I mean, go ahead, I guess, but you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah, like, I mean, don't be running out to, like, pick players up on your fantasy leagues just because they're doing well.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe Joe Panik is not going to continue hitting 90 home runs.
Yeah, only against the Dodgers. Remainder.
Only against, I think he had another one today against, I don't know who they were playing today. The Mariners. It was Mariners Giants. But I think he had yet another home run. So it's not just the Dodgers. Apparently, though, that's all he can do is hit home runs.
Yeah. Well, happy for Joe Panik because he's been banged up all last year. And despite the fact that he's a Giant, I don't hate his guts. So.
No.
All right. Well, I mean, and real quick, you know, the bullpen, you know, there isn't a whole lot to say there. You know, Shane Green doesn't look particularly good. You do kind of have to wonder if his command is affected a little bit when it's, you know, bloody frigid cold outside. But again, he's got one inning and 2/3. So I don't want to take too much from that. Joe Jimenez has looked good. I thought Warwick Saupold has looked pretty good. Daniel Stump, too. For the most part, the bullpen hasn't been that bad. Drew Verhagen and Buck Farmer both kind of blew up in consecutive games and really hurt the team in those two outings. But again,
Wilson looked okay today, which I mean is better than it's not. It's been pretty on and off for him. Like,
yeah, it was a weird
I can't
spring.
Say he's been great even in the spring was not great for him, but today he looked okay. He looked absolutely miserable coming out of the game, but that was largely due to the fact that I think his fingers had gone numb.
Yeah, and even in the first game, like, he pitched really well. That, you know, they just had to push him because we didn't have anybody left all the way to 50 plus pitches. And yeah, finally gave up the 3-run shot to Gregory Polanco. But he had done his work up till that point and he was really just saving, you know, whatever was left of the bullpen at that point. So,
yeah, I was actually really impressed with him for how long he held out there. And I think I said on Twitter that it was a good sign of how he had tried to push for a starting position during spring training, which obviously didn't happen. But it's really nice to know that he can maintain like a 3-inning stretch if need be in games like that. And I think that in spite of the runs he gave up, he did very well.
Yeah. And that versatility has kind of been his calling card with us. Like, he's never really been able to kind of hang in there as a late innings like setup man because he's just not quite good enough at striking out a guy in a key situation and that sort of thing. But very durable, you know, really gutsy reliever out there. And yeah, the Tigers could really probably use one more Alex Wilson to kind of bolster things because, yeah, we're running out a lot of kind of mediocre arms. I really wasn't happy on the first game anyway, once they got it going where they, you know, I think Gardy brought in Drew Verhagen in the eighth to hold the lead and he couldn't.
Oh.
I would really like to see them just settle down with the Drew Verhagen. Like, I know they like him, I know they like his stuff, but we've just never seen anything. If we could make him the seventh man for the time being, I would be happy about that. Can we just settle down, Tigers? I know you love Drew Verhagen. He's a handsome man. He's got a big, pretty big fastball, but...
Anyway. Yeah, I don't know. There's nobody that's really stood out in the bullpen as being like, holy buckets, we finally have someone.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah. I mean, generally the pitching has been pretty good. You know, we've gotten 2 1-inning or 1-run starts out of, you know, Boyd and Fulmer. We've, you know, basically been in every game, except maybe the Carpenter game a little bit, but yeah, I think all in all, the pitching staff has been fine. I think what we're seeing is the weakness of this team, you know, in the past few years has really been the pitching staff, and now what we're going to see is that it's the offense. We've always had kind of trouble, you know, having like 5 or 6 great hitters and then 3 kind of bad ones. This year we've probably got like 2 or 3 really good ones, and you just kind of see like when you need a hit from the 5 through the 9 spots, and even the leadoff spot, you're kind of grasping at straws there, and those guys are going to be frustrating this year. This is kind of the way it goes, so we'll just have to see, because nobody's expecting this offense to do much, and so far they haven't really looked like they're particularly capable of it. But at least we do have, like you said, Miguel and Nick looking good in the middle. Candelario still drawing walks. Looks like he'll be, you know, pretty steady for him. But there's just not a lot of options once you get past the heart of the order. So we're going to struggle. Pitchers are going to have a good year against the Tigers, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be pretty interesting. I don't think you're going to see a lot of run support from the team. I've liked the way Candelario's looked in general. Considering it's his first major league season, I am excited to see more from him. I think he's really he's showing himself to be a major league player, which is nice.
Yeah, you still see the walks, you know, he's still showing that discipline that even when he's kind of going hot and cold, should kind of carry him through. So that's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know how good he's going to end up grading out at third base, but after watching Nick play there for the last 3 or 4 years, I think it's easy to look at Jamer Candelario and kind of think like, wow, this guy's amazing at third. He's not amazing, but he's pretty good. Been pretty good so far.
It'll be an improvement. I thought for a minute on opening day we might see our first position player pitching situation.
Yeah, we were close, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Nope, but only my boy Gabe Kapler got into that kind of trouble, and he's had kind of a hilariously messy first couple games.
God.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the Gabe Kapler thing. It's made the Phillies so much more entertaining than they deserve to be.
Yep.
It's like,
I knew they would be. You know, he's a fun guy to listen to and watch, and he's going to do crazy, interesting things over there sometimes. And then, you know, once in a while, he's going to do something truly boneheaded, like call for a reliever when there isn't one warming up.
Yeah, call for an unwarmed reliever. Ask, wait around on the field, and then ask your reliever if they want to pitch, I think was one that happened.
I think you asked the position player if you wanted to pitch. Yeah, I think that one came together, but
some truly bizarre stuff happening on the weekend in Philly. I don't know. I feel like we're going to see some interesting. People are like, what's the fastest somebody's ever been fired from a management position? But I don't think that's going to happen.
No, not at all.
I think Kapler's going to have time, and I don't think he's doing these things to prove that he's like some sort of idiot. I think that he's gonna be okay.
Me too.
It's just been it's been a hilariously gong show kind of first week for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's one of those things like where, you know, it's great to want to be, you know, super innovative, but you have to have your fundamentals right. Like if the fundamentals aren't there for the base to build on, you're going to end up, you know, tripping and falling on your face. And, you know, and that's what happened. If that scenario where he called for the reliever hadn't happened, this would all just be kind of, you know, everything else would just be kind of like, oh, that's just kind of interesting. Like, oh, I wonder why he does that. You know, people would be kind of into it. But, yeah, you can't make yourself look that bad. I've seen that happen plenty of times. I remember Joe Girardi doing something similar early in his tenure. And I want to say Brad Ausmus had a moment, like, not quite that bad, but something similar, like, where he thought someone was about to get up and go catch, And they didn't, like, they were in the bathroom or something, and so Brad Austin had to, like, hurry up and, like, catch, you know, whoever was warming up, and, yeah, there was some kind of goof-up like that there, too. So, yeah, these two happened to rookie managers, apparently. So, yeah, hopefully his bench coach is looking out for him a little better than that, because that's the whole point of that guy who just sits there and apparently does nothing, is to make keep you from doing anything that dumb. They might, yes, might need to hire somebody else on that front, scapegoat whoever he's got now, and try somebody else. Yeah, I'm real curious to see how Kapler does there. It's going to be super fascinating to see how he, you know, kind of talks all these guys into buying into his philosophy and stuff. So, yeah, it should be an interesting go there.
Be interesting. So, speaking of managers, what's your take on Guardy first week into the season? How do you feel?
I mean, I feel unchanged, you know. You know, not much has happened. He got himself thrown out. That was fun. You know, you can bitch and moan about Drew Verhagen being the setup man and Leonis Martin leading off, but it's the first week of the season. I won't get real mad about these things until they don't work, you know, kind of long term, and he refuses to change. You know, some of these decisions don't make a lot of sense to me, but, you know, by and large, you have to give a guy a little bit of time to try out what he's got, because we don't have a lot. We really don't. So, yeah, just about every option people have suggested for a leadoff man other than Leonis Martin hasn't really seemed all that exciting a possibility either. I would prefer to see Candelario there, but having him hit second is perfectly fine, whatever. So, yeah, it's been fine. You know, he's likable. He has all those, like, Guardius charms, but I gotta say, like, from what I've already seen on Twitter, like, it's not gonna be that long before people are ready to turn on this team, and I don't know if they just didn't sort of prepare their expectations properly for what this is going to be like, but the salt is real already, so.
Oh, but the salt is real for every team right now. I don't even understand. Like, yeah, I agree. I think Tigers Twitter is foaming at the mouth already, and I really want to know what kind of coverage they were reading in the off season that had them thinking that the team was going to go, like, 15-0 to start the year. But, yeah. See, I had, like, I think by game three, a friend of mine had texted me, and they're like, could we do it? Could we go 0-162 for the season? Worst team in history? And I'm like, let's find out. And he was actually disappointed when we won a game. But I think that anybody that had tempered their expectations appropriately going into the year can't be that disappointed by how we're performing right now, because the focus has got to be on individual performance right now.
Yep.
Like, you have to be seeing how each player is doing, how the pitching rotation is shaking out. And I don't care where we're at, like, wins or loss wise, because I just want to see, is Jordan Zimmermann able to, like, pitch for 6.5 innings? Mm-hmm. Is Daniel Norris, who we're going to see next, I think, yes?
Yep, tomorrow, yep.
Yeah. So Daniel Norris, is he going to be able to pitch 6+ innings? And for me, seeing if his command is there, seeing if Mike Fiers, who we're going to see on the weekend in Chicago finally, who's recouped from his back injury apparently, and did well down in Lakeland on extended work down there, I just want to see how these guys are doing. Like, guys like Lirion on Fiers aren't so much important because they're not going to be around for the long haul.
Yeah.
They're on 1-year contracts. But, like, I want to see, you know, how the young guys look in their positions, how they look as they pick up offensive tricks working a full season at the major league level. To me, that's the more fascinating part of the season anyway.
Yep.
Like, wins, losses, who cares? The Tigers are not going to have a great year, but there are still, I think, stories here that matter and are worth paying attention to.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, and I'm like everybody else. Like, when you're watching the game, obviously you want the Tigers to win. You're rooting for the Tigers. I'm not telling people, like, you can't be disappointed when they lose, or you can't be angry when they lose. But it's just good process to step back after, you know, a half hour of you know, moaning and being upset about the game, and just look at what matters, which, as you said, is the young players, is the assets the Tigers have who may be tradable at some point. And, you know, just watching Miguel Cabrera, obviously, you know, like, seeing Miguel Cabrera healthy and hitting great, is worth watching for, you know, for, in my book, pretty much all the time. So, you know, we have to kind of find our, find the gems, you know, to kind of, like, focus on and not worry too much about the overall, because we all know the overall is going to be bad. It just is.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad this year, and it's probably not going to be any better than next year. So I'm just going to have to buck up and kind of, you know, manage to deal with this. At least y'all don't have to write about it.
Oh.
Yeah. Although sometimes when they're bad, like, there's actually a lot more to say. Like, it's so much easier to, like, you know, like, analyze a performance that was either great or terrible than it is, like, middling okayism, you know? Like, you know, if I can write about Justin Verlander one day and then Drew Verhagen getting shelled, like, those two extremes are easier than trying to make something out of Jordan Zimmermann's 8 strikeout day and, you know, all that kind of thing, so... Yeah, we're just you know, kind of warming up and getting in here. The truth is, too, I've only seen 2 games, actually, all the way through. You know, I get on MLB TV after kind of finding out what happened if I was at work or whatever, or having to listen to the game and watch a little bit. Yep, but fortunately, we don't have too many this year.
No, yeah, thankfully, I think last year there were day games right up until, like, April 28th or something insane, and I think by next week the Tigers are already into regular night games. Which actually sucks for me. I really like the day game schedule because it means I can watch at work.
Oh, yeah. And you've got your nights free, like, watch both your teams and get out.
My nights are never free. Well, yeah. So that's the thing. So it becomes much harder for me to watch when we hit nighttime games. So now I have to start scheduling things again.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see. Let's just kind of take a quick look. We've got one more game coming up here against the Royals. So, sorry, I'm following Justin Verlander's game as well on game day. Okay.
That's fine. That. You're forgiven.
Yep. He struck out 9, gave up a couple runs. You know, another pretty good start. I think that's more runs than he's ever given up with the Astros, which is crazy. Give 4 runs, 3. So, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, he's in a better place now.
Yeah, we miss you, Justin.
Yeah, I know. I'm kind of waiting to see some Ian Kinsler action. I have watched.
Well, he's on
the
DL right now.
Yeah,
so.
He's not back. But I have watched some Angels games because I wanted to see
Ohtani.
Mr. Shohei Ohtani, who looked awesome for the most part. Had one inning where his command got a little squirrely, and he hung one, and it got crushed for a 3-run bomb. So hit at the exact wrong time. But boy, other than that, the fastball splitter combo looked amazing. Yeah, he was looking pretty sharp. So I think they're probably going to be all right over there. There was so much kind of hand-wringing this spring about, you know, like, he wasn't doing that well or blah, blah, blah. It's like, seems like he's all right.
Yeah, I feel like this is a prime example of spring training doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's got so many different challenges compared to everyone else, you know, like, just figuring out how to live here and, you know, kind of get to know his teammates through the language barrier and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
he hasn't had that minor league buffer, so he hasn't had any of that extra bonus time to, like, get used to anybody or to kind of adjust to the system. So
it'll be interesting to see what he does. But all right, let's just preview tomorrow's game real quick, because the Tigers once again will be at 1:10 p.m. and so I will be listening to this at work. But Daniel Norris is going to take on Danny Duffy, so you got kind of a battle of fairly similar left-handed pitchers, both of whom are friends. I've seen those two tweet at each other during the offseason, so there's a little bit of intrigue there with the two of them being buddies and kind of going at it tomorrow. But this could be a pretty important start for Daniel Norris in a way, because as much as it aggravates me, I mean, with Mike Fiers coming back, it's hard to imagine that Daniel Norris is going to stick around in the rotation unless he goes out tomorrow and really dominates and gives them a reason to kind of rethink what they're going to do. I don't really see any way it's going to work anyway. I really, at this point, would cut Mike Fiers myself just to kind of get him out of the way, because, you know, when they signed him, I was perfectly fine with it. But Francisco Liriano was just a better option, and the way the free agency went this offseason, we ended up getting a better option for actually less money. And putting Daniel on the shelf doesn't really help his development or the Tigers going forward. But so he's going to need to come out and do well tomorrow. But we're just going to have to kind of see how it goes. The Royals are a free swinging team, and that should play well for him. But yeah, it's just hard to know. He was pretty good in the spring, but not dominant. So yeah, we'll just kind of see what we get.
Duffy didn't look great against the White Sox last week either. So that could bode well for the Tigers.
Yep.
He had a pretty I forgot how to baseball kind of game against the White Sox. So if he's experiencing a little bit of rough waters, then that could be a pretty good thing for the offense.
Yep. And, you know, for the most part, the Royals don't really have a whole lot to offer as far as right-handed hitting. Jorge Soler has power, but isn't much of a hitter. Alcides Escobar is kind of a pest, but usually isn't going to hurt you too bad. So it's kind of all set up for Daniel, assuming it's not, you know, drenching rain again tomorrow, which I'm not sure it may well be. So, yeah, we'll have to see what he's got there. And that'll get us through our first turn in the rotation.
And we'll have seen them all.
Yeah, we'll have seen everybody, and we'll have gotten through. Yeah, we'll be into what is a series against the White Sox next, so our second AL Central opponent in the battle for basement dweller in the Central Division.
We'll continue. Yeah, it's an AL Central heavy start to the season because right after the White Sox, we see the Indians.
Yeah,
starting on Monday. So that should be terrible.
That will not go well, almost certainly. Yeah.
Speaking of the Indians, even though he's not on the team, is he still, I don't know, Edwin Encarnacion.
Yeah, there.
Hit an inside the park home run.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I haven't seen the footage of that yet. It seems like impossible, but.
2018, Edwin Encarnacion hit an inside the park home run this week. Like, I love how baseball is just the most ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, did he go with the parrot on his shoulder all the way around?
I think he must have. Don't know though. So you got to be hustling for a run like that. But oh Lord, man. So good.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go take a look and find that footage and see how that developed because that's bizarre. Carlos Correa actually had an inside the parker tonight as well, which I think makes 4 or 5 already this season, which kind of seems like a lot.
Yeah,
but
there was one, I think Xander Bogaerts hit one in the Rays Red Sox opener, either that or the second game of the series. So yeah, there's been a couple already this season, at least 3 that I know of.
Yeah,
and there might have been.
At least Carlos Correa makes sense. Everyone, you know, they all made sense except Edwin Encarnacion. But
Edwin Encarnacion, I just can't picture it, so I really do have to look up the video.
Yeah, we also saw Kevin Pillar of the Blue Jays steal home plate with, you know, with extreme style the other day off Dylan Bertanzas, who has a really kind of slow windup and tends to be wild. So that was a pretty good choice of guy to run on, but boy, he stole that thing clean with no trouble, and Bertanzas basically threw the ball away in panic. So, yeah. That was awesome. That was cool to see. You don't see too many steals of home anymore, so that was cool.
Yeah, some good baseball being played out there.
Yeah, there has been. Yeah, there have been some pretty darn good games I've seen. Just and actually, you know, the Tigers honestly haven't really played that badly. We're just kind of seeing those weaknesses. Like, if the starting pitching can kind of hang in there, you know, this might not be as bad as we think it is. But they're gonna have to find someone else to, you know, to kind of shore up the middle of the. Middle of the lineup, because there just isn't enough there. It's kind of bleak. So that's what we're going to be dealing with this year. Hopefully we can see some good stuff, out of some of the bullpen guys, and hopefully Shane Green gets it going here, because he's kind of the guy we're looking at as the big trade chip. So
yeah, he's going to have to pick things up a bit.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if he has a little bit of a rough go in the cold weather, but yeah, hopefully by May he's kind of got it going.
Well, yeah, he's had, like, joint issues. Like, his fingers have been a problem for him. So the cold, I guess that would make sense for it to be a bit of an issue for him, especially.
Yeah, he had a lot worse version of what Michael Fulmer had. And, and it doesn't seem like it's ever kind of gone away. Like, he still gets, like, a little bit of dead finger. He'll still get, like, a little bit of tissue death just because there isn't enough capillary blood flow to his fingertips. So, yeah, I mean, I'd imagine that's a little bit of a trick to kind of deal with out there.
Yeah, it doesn't help when the rest of your fingers go numb after that point, so it's not ideal.
Yeah, definitely not ideal. All right, so, you know, there hasn't been a ton going on apart from the Nick play, so the only other thing to kind of mention is that the minor league season will kick off on Thursday. I'm trying to get Dan Hasey, who is the voice of the West Michigan Whitecaps, to come on sometime, hopefully this week. And we'll do a special edition podcast with Dan if he's able. If he's not able this week, hopefully we can put that together maybe next week as well. But yeah, all the teams will get started on Thursday, and we will have the complete rosters from all 4 of the Tigers affiliates from AAA down to West Michigan Whitecaps at Class A ball up on the site shortly. Those guys will all be there. So yeah, that's kind of the next thing, and our minor league coverage will kick in. And obviously, as you can tell by our extreme enthusiasm for Major League Baseball after this week, really, we're just kind of waiting for the weather to get nicer. But yeah, the minor league season is going to be a big part of our coverage this year. I know Rob and I are both going to be kind of on that in particular. I'm hoping to go out to West Michigan quite a few times and see some guys out there live and do some scouting reports. So we'll be bringing you that coverage shortly, and that will start with a minor league recap of all the opening day games, which will appear on the site Friday. So you can look for that. That'll kickstart kind of the second season. That might actually be a little bit more entertaining to kind of check in on and watch throughout the year, at least when Michael Fulmer or Francisco Liriano isn't pitching. So, yeah, we've got that coming up. And I think, other than that, that's about going to do it. We're looking at putting some special content up on our Patreon site next week. I think Robert, Jackie, and I, and Ashley, maybe, depending on which night. You're busy. It's difficult.
my schedule's a nightmare. I'm sorry.
I know. It is. It's just, you're just in too much demand. You got like three sites and book deals going on and all kinds of cool stuff. So, Rob and I will try to get one of those up next week. And we would invite you all, if you can, to go over to our Patreon at www.patreon.com/blushyouboys. And if you become a patron of the site and the podcast and donate to us a little bit on a monthly basis, there is some specialty content that we will have. We'll see some of those examples already up on the Patreon. So if you can do that for us, that would be great. Other than that, we will look forward to the rest of the week's games, and hopefully something interesting will happen, like the Tigers will go on a little bit of a run, or there will be an awesome brawl, or something like that.
Oh, we can hope. We can cross our fingers.
No injuries. No injury brawl. No, of course. No, God, I don't want anybody hurt.
And no major suspensions, please.
Yeah, no major suspensions, exactly. So that'll about do it for this week. And you can follow Ashley at 90 Feet From Home on Twitter, as always. You can find me also on Twitter at Fiscadoro74. And we will talk to you next week.